Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by the monks from the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, monks.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
How are you all doing?
Very well.
Great.
Well.
Great. Tell us a little bit about the new practice opportunity and recording reminders.
Well, I was actually thinking that as you asked us how we are, I thought, well, that's exactly why we're calling in this evening.
Great.
So I think it was, two, three weeks ago that you had Nikki on talking about the practice of doing the recordings?
Yes.
Yeah. So we begged and pleaded to see if we could repeat the subject because it's just proving to be an extraordinary leap in practice. It feels like for the whole Sangha, and I know it's palpable here at the monastery as you see people going about their daily business with their headphones and really doing the work of the recording. So we thought we would pass the phone around, and anyone who feels moved to is going to share their sort of favorite part or story about their recording.
Great.
Hey, this is Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, my favorite part about doing the recording is the way I set up some of my recordings are is that I record something into it and leave enough of a gap so that I can have time to repeat it to myself and actually do the practice. Sometimes I ask myself to do something like stop and breathe, and there'll be a big question that'll come out like, Alex, are you here? And I have to check in to see, is Alex really here? And I really enjoy that aspect of it, and so that's my favorite part.
That's fun.
Hi, this is Michael.
Hey, Michael.
And what I really like is something that someone shared in a group recently here, actually, which is, so getting it that if I could remember just this one thing, it would, and just remember it, it would make a difference in my life. And so with our recordings, we actually can keep feeding ourselves the one thing, whatever it is, and there can be lots of those things, and they really make a difference to help us. It helps me to keep coming back to that thing that makes a difference in my life.
Yes, and I can tell you what that one thing is for me, and that is to press play.
Press play.
Yeah.
Me too, that was mine too.
Yeah.
This is Melinda, and I find the recordings are so amazing because conditioning would like to have told me ahead of time what it was going to be like, and it isn't anything like that at all. And it feels like it's absolutely full of surprises. And one of the best ones for me so far is that when I'm listening to my recording as I go about my day, I am focusing inwardly. And when I don't have those earbuds on, I'm, you know, sort of checking out what's going around me. I'm in stories. I'm doing things other than focusing inwardly. And it feels like the practice of listening to the recordings is really boosting the skill of just being with myself in a way that I never would have been able to anticipate.
Great.
This is Marie.
Hey, Michael, it's Dave.
I heard you there. I heard Dave and then someone else there. Dave, do you want to go first and then we'll grab
you? Sure, I'll jump in. I'll tell you the thing that I like the best about it is that it gives a way to have every single moment of the day for practice and for being in the moment, for conscious compassion awareness, for being with myself, for being with a mentor, and all the different ways we have of talking about just how wonderful it is to be here. And, you know, in a way, we've always striven for that because, you know, we're practicing meditation all the time. But this gives a really, really tangible way and powerful way to do that. And so, you know, because a lot of times as we're walking along practicing without realizing it, we're getting pulled into the voices or into stories and things. And we can just, you know, the attention turns from whatever it is that has been engaging my attention, like a conversation or a meeting or something. And then I turn away from that into kind of the space of what's here, and then I can hit press play, and I've got support for remaining in the relationship with myself that I want.
Yes, Great. Thank you.
This is Marie Michael.
Hey, Marie.
What I really like best about my recording is how much fun it's become and how I've become eager to use it. And because I wasn't that eager in the beginning, you know, I wasn't that excited about it, but
yeah.
I wanted to do the things we were being asked to do and things that Sherry was sharing with us. And now I'm finding that it's enhancing the quality of my life so much that I'm just kind of always looking to see when I can put my earplugs in and listen.
Right.
And then what I've learned from that is how resistance is just not true.
Uh-huh. Resistance is not true.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Michael Sequoia, and one of the things I love about my recording is those 2 a.m. wake-up times, you know, when I used to, like, hang out with conditioning. And now I just get to pull my press play on the recorder and get to spend those times with a loving mentor, and it's just awesome. And I also just like listening to the recordings that I make, and occasionally I'll record what the voices are saying and then, you know, what the mentor would say. And then just to play those back and, you know, just hear a lot of what conditioning said, just, you know, the lies for what it is. And it's like every time I hear it, it's like mentor 1, conditioning 0.
Yes. Great.
This is Amy.
Hi, Amy.
And I wanted to share about something I've done with my recording, which is I have a project that I'm taking on next week, and I recorded everything that I could imagine the voices would say to pull me off track of that project, and then everything that I want to remember about what I want to accomplish and what's important to me about it. And so I've been listening to it, and I plan to listen to it during this project, and I'll report back.
Great. I look forward to hearing.
Hey, Michael, this is Penny.
Hi, Penny.
I think that one of the things I've been enjoying is how the mentor surprises me. You know, what conditioning, as was somebody mentioned, I had a certain amount of resistance to doing this, and conditioning, what conditioning would tell me that about how the mentor would respond is so not how the mentor responds. And so I find myself surprised all the time when I, and the recorder is a great way to call upon the mentor, and I'm so surprised often by what the mentor says, and then when I listen to it, I actually am not very surprised ultimately, but there's a kind of freshness that I experience that I'm finding wonderful.
Wonderful.
Hi, Michael. This is Brian.
Hey, Brian.
What I'm really enjoying about the recording is it kind of opens up a door to counter-programming conditioning. So conditioning is just yammering on all day. And as I do the recording, I find there's, you know, this real resistance to doing the recording, to listening to my own voice. I got some information that wasn't pleasant at some point.
Uh-huh.
I realize it's the same system that, you know, tells me not to read things that I've written down for myself or... in every way tries to keep me away from any insights I've had that might threaten conditioning's monopoly on what's going on in my head. So
yes,
just really great for that.
Right.
So everything everyone said completely. As someone was talking, I thought of one of my favorite instances recently where, so I have a karmic bent towards experiencing anxiety, so I have this commitment that every time that happens, I'm going to turn on the recorder and just start talking. And the funniest thing happened. I turned on the recorder, and I heard myself say, and so then anxiety came up, and I was like, yes. I thought, what? Because that was time. I mean, truly, like a minute before I turned on the recorder, that was not my experience. But the turning on the recorder, suddenly what was present was, that's what I want. I want to see all the stuff that's possible that to cause me to suffer to come through, and I'm going to pick up this recorder and see through it. It was just such a powerful experience.
Wow. Fabulous.
Michael, can I say how this actually relates to the radio show?
Oh, please.
What we're finding, as you know, that more and more people are calling into the show, and I think probably largely because there's so much happening for people in practice. They're seeing so much. And so we thought we might try to see if we can get more callers on each show.
Yes.
And so in order to do that, we thought we might have people start looking at keeping their interactions succinct, maybe to like 5 or 10 minutes.
Yes.
And I was thinking about it in terms of, you know, Sherry did the same thing with the email classes. I don't know, what was it, 2 or 3 email classes ago? And it revolutionized the email class, at least for me. I'm struck by, it seems like every single person in the class must be responding to every single assignment because of the volume of the responses that are coming through. I don't know how Sherry does it, reading all of them and responding, but it's just, again, it's such a support to read everyone's, what they're seeing, and it doesn't take much to really share that. And it feels like we could bring that same spirit to the radio show where we might be able to hear from more folks. You know, all those people who are waiting in line every week really get to hear from people if people bring that same spirit of like, what's the kind of, what's the nugget in this? What's the heart of what I want to share? And then we might be able to get more people on the show. And then maybe even get, you know, those same folks on the show more often to kind of hear back from them and report back on what they're seeing, because that's one of the great pleasures of listening to the radio show is tracking kind of how people are doing and what they're seeing in their practice.
Yes. And can you tell people what the change was in the email classes that happened 2 or 3 classes ago?
Wait, just in case you're not an email class veteran. So it went from, you know, just respond to the class however you feel moved to do that, which could have looked like anything from, you know, a few words to pages and pages, truly. Some of the responses went on and on and on. And so it was overwhelming, I can only imagine, for Sherry in responding to them. But certainly for those of us who were trying to keep up with reading the responses, it was a lot. And often there was so much, you know, it's a very long response, but the piece of the practice that's helpful to all of us can be boiled down to something much, much shorter than that. And so it feels like that's what we're doing now with the class. So the requirement is that you respond in 50 words or fewer. I don't know about other people, but that's been quite a fun project sometimes to see. Okay, I'm at 63. What can, you know, and this process of doing that is really quite... quite clarifying to do it.
Yes. Very fun.
Very fun.
I noticed
so
myself.
One little technical thing about that, Michael, I think you have a bell, is that right?
Let's see.
So occasionally, if you feel like you need to remind folks about that, you're going to come in with a bell, probably not very often, but just so that the caller and Sherry, they might be getting really into something and kind of forget the time. And so you might come in with a bell just to remind folks that we're working on keeping it to, you know, having as many folks on each show as we can.
Yeah, so with a goal of 5 to 10 minutes maximum.
Yeah.
And if it's less than that, great.
Yep. And, you know, with the ideal comes the actual. We let life call the shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I noticed myself preparing here to click much more frequently and much more often.
Yeah, I think it'll be really, I mean, I know it's a, you know, it's too bad that we have, I mean, it's fabulous that we have so many callers, and it would be nice to get more of them on the show if we could each time.
Great. On your mark?
I guess you better stop talking, huh? What's that goal?
Great. Anything else you'd like to share about the recording reminders?
Oh, we could go on and on, but I see we've already taken 5 minutes of our callers' time. We'll let you move on. Have a great show, Michael.
Great. Monks, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. listening to the good news always just puts me in such a happy frame of mind. So, I mean, I was in a happy frame of mind before, okay, I admit it. But, the other thing that Jen mentioned that puts me in a happy frame of mind is reading from everybody in the email class. So, it's a good time. And I do really, I'm very grateful that you folks have come up with this reminder to all of us to kind of stay on topic and be succinct and focus on the kernel of the matter rather than getting lost in stories and that sort of thing. That's always good for practice.
Great. Great. Sherry, I have a couple announcements before we get to our callers. You'll be at East West Bookstore in Mountain View this Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m.?
Yes.
And then you'll be at East West in Seattle on Thursday, December 9th at 7 o'clock. You'll come back to the Bay Area for a workshop in Mountain View on December 11th called Real Comfort. And then you'll guide the New Year's retreat at Santa Sabina in San Rafael, and that's December 27th through January 1st.
Indeed. Exciting times.
Exciting times. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Oh, my goodness. this is Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Thank you so much for helping me when I called last month.
Oh, you're very welcome. How's it going now?
Oh, much better.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, much better. Yeah, I have a program. I am a practice. I mean, I guess we always have a practice, but I started meditating every morning.
Very
every
good.
Morning. I get up and feed my cat and I meditate, and I just I really want to thank you. You were so kind to me when I called in October. I really appreciate it very much.
Well, and if it resulted in you meditating every day and taking such good care of yourself, I can only be extra happy.
Thank you. And I also started really working on reading more of your books, and also working on those little sub-personalities, and I'm making these little figures out of felt that amuse me. You know, one of them is, I call him the Candyman, and I'm weaning myself off a horrible sugar high. And, you know, just sort of it's all about coming back to center, isn't it?
Yes. All about taking care of you.
Yeah,
legitimately take care of you.
And I have a marvelous reflective listening buddy who just seems to be teaching me. And I feel so indebted to the Sangha. I really appreciate it so much.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
We appreciate you. You know, it really does take all of us.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
And that's something that it's so hard for most folks to realize. You know, we look out there and we see what other people are doing, and we can see that it's helping us, and we forget that, yeah, and the way that I can kind of pay that back is by being present and supporting everybody else. And it doesn't translate into doing anything in particular. It's simply participating, being a part of.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like,
nice.
I know you used to be around where there was probably more opportunity for being places in person, and,
mm-hmm.
and that's huge. You know, when Sangha is doing something, to make sure you're there. If there's a sitting group, support the sitting group. If there's a workshop or retreat, whatever a person can get to participate in that. It's bringing our energy to participation. It sounds
mm-hmm.
kind of new agey, but it really is true. It's what supports all of us in doing the practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Keep me posted.
And, you know, I want you to know that the cat is working out for me. He's a very good reflective listening buddy.
And helps you get up in the morning and get
your
cushion.
Yeah, he does. I set him for 7, and he comes and sort of gazes into my sleeping eyes at about that time.
Uh-huh.
It's very sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This
but
is a new day.
The,
come and play.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
Thank you.
Continue to take care. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Hey. I just wanted to report in how great it's been doing the recordings, and so I feel like I'm adding on to the good news updates.
Very good, very good.
And there was something kind of amazing that happened with it. I was doing it, and I sort of jumped in about the second or third class after I had some things going on, and caught up and started recording and listening. And I had an incident happen with a person in my life who had something that I had a reaction to. And I immediately went to, I wonder what the mentor would do for them if I could be that mentor for the other person. Because my reaction was coming from ego. So it was just a really cool thing.
And so you kind of talked it over with the mentor?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the mentor responded?
Well, it just came right into my awareness quickly that the way I was reacting to the person was not helpful to them.
Yes, or you.
Or me. And I thought immediately, what would I, if I were in that situation as that person, what would I want said to me? Or how would I want to be supported? And it was there.
Yeah.
And available to do that.
That's it.
And then right after that, something happened with me where that person reciprocated what I had just done.
Yes.
And I felt supported.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was just really, really powerful.
Yeah. It is.
And
powerful.
And changing. The relationship changed immediately.
Yes. You know, we know this intellectually. We've been taught this. It is our practice that we we come to center. We turn to wisdom, love, and compassion, all of those kinds of ideas that so often conditioned mind can use against us. Yeah?
Right.
But you should react in a different way. You should be a different person. You shouldn't feel that way. That's not okay. But they're really, mm-hmm. It's very, very challenging to access that wisdom. And now you have a way to
Right. Right. That's true. Yeah, that's exactly what it was before.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I would be, what am I doing wrong? What, you know, how can I do this different?
Yeah.
And I didn't know.
No.
How to do it different. Yes. Yeah,
and
differently.
And now you have a place to look and a way to ask, and you know that the secret is to ask and then give it a beat, and the wisdom is right there.
Right. Well, it's a shift. It's a shift in mind, in thinking. And so you write down all the things the voices are saying and then immediately ask the mentor to help you with responding or helping you with that support. And your mentor responds and you have it accessible to you for other things too, including for yourself and others.
Yeah. It feels quite miraculous, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember now who, was just saying that it's a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was Penny was saying, it's unexpected. It's like, I would think I would know what the mentor would say. And then I get it that,
mm-hmm,
no,
mm-hmm.
no, actually I don't.
No, yeah. It is a surprise. I was describing something like that to someone today, and I said it's like a hand comes out of the sky and gives it to me or something. Like, it just miraculously appears.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, from your own authentic nature.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Renee.
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is George.
Hey, George.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How's it going?
Well, it's this is one of those times that calling in when conditioning was just doing everything possible to get me not to call in, to hang up, to go have a couple of cookies and some ice cream or something like that.
Anything else?
Yeah. Let's get out of here. So I hung on, and I'm surprised that I actually got in, because usually I hang on and just never make it. But so here I am. There's something going on. You know, I've been recording and listening and walking and doing the email class and, you know, sitting and meditating and, you know, doing everything and you know, reading the what other people send in and recording some of those and so on. And I've been pretty faithful every day, you know, doing this. And somehow it's just falling on deaf ears, or I mean, it's you know, I'm hearing all of these wonderful things that people are saying about how it's working for them and so on. Can I
make a suggestion about what's going
yes.
on?
Yeah.
All of that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And where your attention is on how it's not working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what's going on.
So that's why it's critical that we learn to direct the attention. Now, because
mm-hmm.
I know you, I'm going to just leap in here and say this outrageous thing. I would say that you, George, at Center, are not doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
Ego is doing the work,
mm-hmm.
it wearing
mm-hmm.
its George costume,
mm-hmm.
masquerading as you. So,
yeah, I would say that's what's going on. I mean, I'm using all the words.
That's right.
You know, I'm inventing what the mentor is saying or ego is or whatever and using all the correct words.
Yep.
All
the
correct
lingo.
Phrases and everything, probably maybe exactly what the mentor would say.
Probably not.
But yeah. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So with it sounds like actually possibly both eyes on proof that it's not working. So looking to how you feel, and then when it gets any kind of evidence that you're not feeling the way you should be feeling, then it's got its proof, and there you are.
Right. Yep. That's exactly what's going on.
Well, it'll be really interesting to see how it deals with this conversation. And very, very important, of course, to get this whole conversation on a recording.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to set it up to do that. Oh.
That's okay. I think it's being recorded, so the archives will be available to you.
Right.
But really important to start gathering evidence for how it is controlling your attention, even though there's a pretense that it's doing the right thing, that you're actually centered, you're doing the class, you're doing the work, but it's just not working.
Yeah.
So to recognize that for the lie that it is, and watch where your attention really is. So I can't remember where I was just talking with people about this, but that people will say to me, you know, in meditation, you know, I can count the breath and be making shopping lists or planning conversations
or
whatever it is. And, of course, they're not. They're not at all. They have simply turned over attention to conditioned mind, and conditioned mind is making it seem as if they are doing those activities. They're not actually present to anything except conditioned mind's distractions. So when that happens, what we need to do is focus the attention. Like sometimes when I'm doing a centering with people, I'll ask them to feel the breath as it enters your nostrils. Stay with it all the way down into the lungs. Feel the lungs expanding, getting larger and larger. Feel the breath dropping down into the abdomen. Feel your butt. So the encouragement to stay focused so minutely, if that's English, on that process of breathing that there's nothing left over to slip off into conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that way with listening. So there's just wholehearted listening to the recording, listening to the voice of the mentor. Nothing left over to check on, well, how am I feeling? Is this really working? I don't think it is. You know, I just don't feel that good. It doesn't really feel like my heart is opening. It's not really penetrating in any way. It's just staying on. Yeah?
Yep.
Very good. You've got a project.
Oh, boy.
I know you like a project.
Okay.
All right. Let me know.
I will.
Okay. Thanks, George.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, George. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Next caller, are you there?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I was on mute. This is Melissa from Virginia. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I think Michael's good, too. Michael's
yes,
good.
I am.
All right, good.
Well, I project he usually certainly sounds like he is. So.
Exactly.
I'm actually calling with a somewhat of a follow-up. I called a few weeks ago after I had been on retreat
mm-hmm.
with you, Sherry, in Connecticut. And I was just, sort of going with the momentum of how great the retreat was and really wanting to come on the New Year's retreat, and things were really falling into place to do that. And I think by then I had already emailed in my initial, just the email saying I'm interested in the retreat. And I said, okay, I'm anxious about this, but I don't want to bug anybody, so I'll just hang out and wait and see how long it takes to hear back on the registration. So that's when the retreat started in earnest, and it was 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, and I didn't hear anything. And so, you know, I just really, conditioning sort of took the opportunity to sort of come in and say, should you call them? Should you email? You don't want to bug anybody. What about, you know, airfare?
What if they didn't get there?
Et cetera, right, which I think, I'm not sure, but I think email in general is probably more reliable than, you know, postal service or whatever. I think most emails get where they're going. So 2.5 weeks, I have my reflective listening call, and she happens to mention in her conversation that about getting registered for the retreat. And I thought, well, other people are getting registered for the retreat. So what's, you know, what's going on? Did I do something at the retreat I was on? And I, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. They're kicking me out of practice. So finally I said, it was 3 weeks exactly. And I said, I need to contact them. And meanwhile, I'm watching the airfares creep up. And so I get in touch and get a response immediately that the guest master had sent me an email confirmation the day after I went to register, but I truly never got it. And I thought, this whole time I've just been sucked into this whole story. And, but, you know, by now, airfares, which were, you know, say $400 or $500, have almost doubled since then. So then we can have that whole conversation. And, you know, I finally just, I talked to my husband and, you know, I said to him, I wish you would tell me not to go, because then I could point to that and say, okay, I can't go. And, you know, none of these things are deal breakers. It's like, okay, I got confirmation. I can go. There's space for me. I have time off of work. My husband's completely supportive. And he said, you know, he basically said, what's a few $100? You need to do this. This is important to you. Just do it. And I thought, okay, as the airfares continue to creep up. And finally I said, you know what? I need to tap into the support that he is giving me and give that support to myself. And I did it. I just decided I need to give this gift to myself. And I said, you know, self-hate wants to come in and give me a hard time about how much the airfare ended up costing me, and I'm not even having the conversation.
Right.
And
I have a wise friend who says, you'll never remember what you paid, only what you got.
I know. And I'm so excited. It's like I don't even need to be there yet. And I'm just so excited that I was able to, all the pieces came together. And I was really able to, you know, support myself through it. And it wasn't without its obstacles. And you know, I thought this wasn't related, but I just, this all transpired really, finding out about the email, not getting the email and everything yesterday. And yesterday was felt so dark to me. And I did, and it's like, I know this is not me. I know I'm identified. Like, I know this is, I'm going to go pass through this. What is this? And, you know, I at the end of the day, I talked it through with my sister, who is the person who really introduced me to practice. And you know, at the end she said, I'm sure, you know, I didn't tell you anything that was helpful. And I said, you know, actually, it was just reaching out and having that conversation, yes, especially with somebody who knows all the, you know, particulars, yes, that I disidentified.
Yes.
I mean, it was like snapping of the fingers, and I feel like a different person today.
Yeah. Yeah. It's making the effort for yourself.
Yeah.
Right? You have to come back to center in order to do that. You know you've already disidentified when you make the decision to, you know, yes, it costs too much and I'm going to do it anyway. mm-hmm. you've already disidentified when you say, you know, I need to talk to somebody
right.
who can help me disidentify. You know, so if then it's just really acting out and kind of reaffirming
right.
what you've already experienced.
Yeah, that's exactly
beauty,
it.
It's the beauty of Sangha, isn't it?
It's really, it was transformative.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, it was, and self-hate and questioning are so subtle. I mean, I didn't know all day I had just this darkness, and it was, and it's subtle. It's not like, oh,
yeah.
I'm upset about
yeah.
blank.
Yeah.
And it's just the veil, I mean, it's going into the light room, I guess. It was just, it was truly a switch flip. And it's funny because, I mean, my sister basically, in a way, was saying, you know, this is not the last retreat you will have the opportunity to go on. And I know that to be true. And that, whatever, so obviously that could have led me down the path of, okay, I'm not going to do it. But in fact, it just flipped the switch for me. And it's like, you know what? The only person I have to answer to besides me, as far as the cost, is my husband. And he's like, it basically, it's just money. Go and do it. And so it's just, is liberating. It's really liberating.
He's one of the greatest members of your Sangha that you've got going.
I know. He's such a huge advocate. He's such a huge advocate. And in fact, today when the call or the show was starting, and he came in with my 3-year-old, and they yelled up, "Are you? You know, we have a present for you." And I said, "You know, I'm on hold for the radio show." And he said, "Oh no, don't worry about it. We'll give it to you later." So he's a huge advocate, and it's just a gift, and I'm just really, really appreciative. So I this all happened in the last 24 hours. I said, "I've got to call in and report because it's huge," and I'm so excited to be coming out there and going on the retreat again.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to it.
I am so happy. For all of that.
It's
for all
great.
Of that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
It is.
So
it's
I appreciate it. As always, I'm full of gratitude, and I am going to go so we can get lots more people on the air before 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock,
right.
I guess.
All right.
Thank you. So thank you both. I appreciate it, and I'll see you soon.
Yes, indeed.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Melissa. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Pasha.
Hey, Pasha.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you. I'm calling to report and also testing the iPhone app. So it works successfully.
Yes, I tell you, Pasha, I have been restraining myself not to to keep from announcing that Open Air is going to be an iPhone app very shortly. But you allowed me to do it, so thank you.
Yes. And another topic is is I've been practicing holding my real child. I'm reaching my wife, and my wife's child, it seems one day she came and said that she appreciates very much how I take care of her and how I take care of myself. So it was a very gratifying moment, if I can say that. Also, even reaching my cat, since we start having a baby, our cat feels alone and often. And I found that that love is kind of more inclusive than I can mentally project. So when I'm feeding my baby, a cat comes and also sits on my lap. And and also we are giving a break to my wife, and she feels better. And it kind of multiplies. gives me energy, and it's so great. It's hard to describe.
That's such a wonderful connection there. What we're used to is egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, sucking life out of us. You know, nothing is working, it's too hard, I don't get it, I don't understand why. And what you're describing, bringing that loving kindness and compassion in, and including all of the family in that, and the energy just grows and grows and grows. And instead of feeling depleted at the end of the day, we feel energized.
Yes, and another amazing thing I noticed, I had a small injury in my neck, and when I'm at work, I get stressed, and by the end of the day, I feel stress in my shoulders, and my neck start to hurt more. And then I get to home, and I immediately go into feeding the baby, and just holding the baby is just such a pleasure that it feels like the pain or the strain that was in my body is changing into some, I don't know how to describe it, kind of like pleasurable tiredness. It's like when I do something I enjoy, for example, running in a field, playing soccer, after an hour I will get tired. I feel pain in my legs, but I wouldn't call it a pain. I would just call it, okay, I'm tired, you know, time to do something else. So what I noticed is that stress and the pain in my neck and the shoulders are changed into, okay, I'm just tired holding the baby in my hands. I'm going to, you know, switch arms, do something else, and it's not a pain anymore.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's just you have used those muscles, you've used your body in a way that causes it to get tired, but the whole thing is a pleasurable use of the body.
Yes.
Instead of so often, especially sadly for a lot of us at work, there's kind of a closing down and a tightening against. You know, we're not perceiving necessarily what we're doing as pleasurable. So that pushing it away and the tension that builds and the strain and doesn't feel good.
Yes, but also I noticed in my arms when I'm holding the baby, I feel like tingling sensation of kind of my muscles, my arms are working, but it's such a energy and joy that that it feels like when I put the baby down, I get energy in my arms. It feels like he gave me the energy that is now floating from my arms to the rest of my body.
Yeah,
it's just counterintuitive because I'm supposed to get tired, and I'm getting this energy, which is amazing thing.
And it's really lovely because, of course, at his age, all he's really got going is intuition. You know, he's just a little reception transmission center, you know, with energy just flowing through. And so to have to eye project that, it must be wonderful for him to be in that place and just feel the energy flowing from you to him, from him to you, and in that circle.
Oh yes, I can see that when I go home and mom gives him to me, she is already tired. She's been with him a whole day, and even though it was a joyful day, but she gets tired and he gets cranky. And like yesterday, I came home and she was like, "Oh, he's so cranky. I don't know how to calm him down, and it's difficult." She gave it to me, and it's a joy for me to reconnect with him, and he immediately calms down, becomes non-cranky, and it's like, you know, 5 minutes later, he fell asleep in my arms, and we are looking, where's that cranky baby go?
Right. Yes. Now, what we don't want is for mom to feel bad or guilty that she's making the baby cranky, right? because it is just we got to give ourselves a lot of credit and a lot of understanding, because it is hard to do any of the, you know, it's hard to go to work all day and be confronted with things that we are required to do when we might not feel exactly like doing them. It's difficult to take care of little people because their need is just constant. And so we do get tired, and everybody gets cranky and that sort of thing. And we understand that. And it's great that there are two of you to be able to share the work and share the joy.
Yes. And it feels like the energy is swinging between me and her. For example, I take late evening feedings, and by the end of it, I'm so sleepy and tired. I go to bed, and she wakes up in the middle of the night to go to feed him. And sometimes I wake up, and I'm like, "Oh my God, I can't imagine how would I, you know, pull myself up now to go feed him. I would do if it's necessary, but
thank goodness I don't have to."
Yes. and she has that energy, and she's totally fine. And it's amazing how we go from such a depletion to such a joyful energy and full force. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and of course, so much of it is having that support, having the loving kindness, the compassion. We really thrive in that environment, and it's really hard for us to thrive when that's missing. So I'm very happy for all of you.
Yes, thank you so much. And that support means a lot. Now it goes like a small, constant, underlying layer through our activity that even I had a moment where we all tired. It felt well, let's just hold in some kind of compassionate group hug all this tired family, and then boom, the energy comes from somewhere. It's unexpected.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. It was very helpful, and I'll continue with that joyful exploration.
All right. Thank you so much, Pasha.
Thank you. And that's end of my time.
All right.
Have a good night.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye,
good night.
Michael.
Goodbye. Bye. Thanks for joining us, Pasha. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be right back.
Right.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop. Drop and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Todd.
Well, good evening, Todd.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you. How are you guys?
Good, good.
Great.
Great.
We're going to get a report?
Put back on one aspect of my recording that I'm really, I'm enjoying all the recordings, and I've recorded, lots of segments, lots of different segments with all the exercises and a lot of the encouragements.
Uh-huh.
But I'm really enjoying the encouragement about writing or tattooing on the back of your hand, listen. I just love that. And I proceeded to go to the permanent marker and put listen on each hand.
Uh-huh.
I'm losing you.
Yeah. Are you there?
Yeah, my phone's down. Just a second. Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, my other phone died. Anyway, it's such an important reminder, and the encouragements of, you know, we can record it, but if we don't listen to the recordings, there's a huge opening for condition to get us.
Yes. And you're in the email class, so
yes.
The number of ways that people get talked out of of doing the work is just extraordinary.
Yes.
Yeah. You'd think that what we're trying to get ourselves to do is some just hideous, awful, uphill fight task rather than push play and listen to somebody say nice things to you.
It's so true. It's so true. And I just have just hearing you just keep repeating, which is okay. Just keep repeating, just do the work. Do the work. It's like, do the work. And that's it. Just do the work. And I just keep giggling when every time you say, this is happening. I know resistance. Okay, but I'll tell you what, just do the work. Get back to me once you do the work. It's like, we got that, but So what came up for me was I was just sitting with my recorder the other night, and the mentor just said, just some excitement about recording. And we had done all the exercises, and it was like, I don't know, what should we record? And all of a sudden, I took my phone out, and I started recording the tweets. I carry around 200 of the tweets on my phone as an archive.
Uh-huh.
My favorites. And I just started recording the tweets, and then the mentor would do a little commentary about each retweet, how it reminds us of something or how it encourages us or how it kind of frames practice in a certain way. And before we know it, we had like half an hour on there and about 60 tweets, and I am just really enjoying that.
You're just higher than a kite, right?
Oh, it is an infusion, like just what Pasha was saying, energy.
Yeah.
I get to, I've got lots of different segments with the exercise, but something about those tweets and the mentor commenting on it, little commentary in between each tweet is
that
just
a very fun idea.
Yeah. I just thought I'd share that because I love hearing little new practice ideas on Open Air.
Yeah.
And I love sharing them, and I love, kind of adopting them, and I just wanted to share that with Sangha.
Yeah, that is a great one. And especially the mentor does a little kind of little Dharma talk after each one. That's great.
That's exactly it, a little Dharma talk. And it's just whatever comes up, and it's so true. I have no idea what the mentor's going to say. In fact, when I re-listen to it, I'm like, oh, my goodness. It's like, who was listening to it the first time? But it's like, wow, that is just an amazing little commentary that the mentor just came up with.
Yeah. And isn't it fun to realize, yes, okay, that's me. But it's not. You know, it's the wisdom that animates. So I can be just as thrilled and excited over that wisdom as if somebody else said it. The wisdom is the wisdom, and it's really thrilling. So the fact that it appeared in your head and you're hearing it in your voice does not at all diminish the fact that it's brilliant.
I love that. It is so, and it stops me in my tracks sometimes. I wear my MP3 around my neck with my lanyard, with my little reminder cards, and it's the first thing I put on in the morning once I get dressed is my MP3 player.
Uh-huh.
It's the last thing I take off at night now. I will not put it down because it's so true. It's the little writing on the back of the hands, listen, and if it's not around my neck, if it's sitting on my desk or on my table, it ain't going to get listened to.
Yeah. Somebody, in fact, had the idea, and I think it's going to happen pretty soon, to have little what do you call them, like a little case out of the chitenge cloth.
Oh, fun.
That it can sit in. So then it can, attach to a belt or around your neck or whatever, but it's always with you. And
brilliant.
Because you're right. If it sits on a table somewhere, that's way too easy for a conditioned mind to talk us into not seeing.
It is so true. It is so true. Great. That's all I have to share, and I
all
want
right.
other people to get on. I love the new format, and I just love getting more callers on. It's fantastic. So thank you.
That's great. Thank you, Todd.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Okay, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. Sherry, can I share one of my little tips?
Yes, please.
So over the summer, I got a pair of wireless headphones, which to conditioning was an incredible extravagance.
Uh-huh.
And they're just a joy. So I put my iPhone on the shelf, put the headphones on, and I don't have any. I'm not tripping over cords or pulling the cord out, or kids aren't pulling on the cord. It's just really been great for me.
Wow, where did you get them?
Oh, you can just Google wireless headphones, and they use a Bluetooth signal, like your little cell phone thing that goes in your ear.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great. I think Awareness Junkie Man is working on something
with
that technology.
Okay.
Yes. Very exciting.
Great. And we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is Phyllis.
Phyllis?
Yes, Phyllis.
Well, hi there.
Well, hi. Well, I'm really excited to be on, and I always enjoy hearing everybody talk about how conditioning stops them from calling, and I'm one of those. But it was actually a crisis with my daughter. So it just never fails to amaze me how the variety.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But anyway, I'm actually calling. We came to the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat this summer, and found it just transformative. It was wonderful. And I learned about pseudo-Zen.
Yes.
And I kind of feel like I've fallen back into that. I'm dealing with a large bit of conditioning around something that's happened in my marriage. And it's just, it won't leave me alone. I mean, I guess that's how I feel. And, the self-talk is that, it has to do with my husband not sure whether he wants to stay married or not, and some of the things that he's done that have been hard for me that have been hurtful, I guess, I felt hurtful.
Uh-huh.
Or that have felt I've felt hurt by, I know that this summer when in one of the groups, I kind of reminded me of what George said, that he's been going through all of the motions, doing all of the things, but still not feeling well, and that's how I was before I came to the retreat, and after through the process was able to come to see that it was pseudo-Zen, and it is starting to feel that way again, and I kind of feel panicked in a way that...
So let me just clarify, if I might. So it's practice is turning into a should?
No, not at all. I meditate, and I love it. I listen to my reassurances and the podcasts. I'm an avid hiker. I hike, and I do yoga. No, I've gone through periods of feeling very freed from the it's like a dark cloud that comes over, you know, I feel in the grip of conditioning. And what I've done in the past, well, since the summer, is I can go through and say, okay, it's this conditioning, and usually conditioning is insatiable. You know, if I try to reassure, it's insatiable, and then I know, well, wait a minute, I'm not comforted. So this, you know, this whatever it is that's going on in my mind feels like conditioning. Or self-hate, for me anyway, has seemed obvious, but maybe not so obvious. It's usually pretty vitriolic. And I also will ask, who's here, you know, and what does, you know, the sub-personality that I discovered this summer was this a wife. That's what I called her, was the wife. In a way, it seems like another personality is emerging, but I'm not sure how to tell if it's conditioning or not. It's more the, you know, I can't accept what's happened, and I want what I want, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if that's the two-year-old or the teen, or if that's just saying, gosh, you know, don't settle.
Yeah.
Conditioning,
or
say of don't settle. Yeah.
Or if it's just egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, trying to make you as miserable as possible.
Possible. Well, and I feel that way right now. I've
uh-huh.
been pretty miserable, and I just usually I can, you know, the cycle may last a few days or a week, but I can usually, I have been able to since the retreat to kind of come out of it, and I just haven't been able to.
Now, let me ask you this. You've been hearing people talk about the self-mentoring and the recordings and listening to the recordings and that sort of thing.
I have, yes.
Are you doing that work at all?
Not the mentoring. I'm new to, I'm just hearing about that. I've been listening to archive shows, but they've been further back. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Then that's actually what I'm going to encourage you to do.
Okay.
The latest book is called What You Practice Is What You Have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it gives detailed instructions for
uh-huh.
how to do this.
Okay.
And, you know, it's the best thing that I can offer you right now, because it sounds like you need some pretty good one-on-one with your mentor.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that wise compassion, beyond reassurance, not excluding reassurance,
mm-hmm.
but that wise presence that can help you sort out who's here.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you're doing a really good job, by the way, of doing the, you know, taking the steps to figure out, is this a legitimate subpersonality? Is
mm-hmm.
this karmic conditioning? Is this self-hate? But then adding that layer of compassionate wisdom that's going
yeah.
to help and support you regardless of what happens with your husband.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sounds like that's really where you are now.
I think so. So the book, What You Practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Really, I'd offer you the email class, but it's really too late.
Okay.
You know, we're so far into it that I think it
mm-hmm.
would be very, very difficult to get caught up unless you have quite a bit of time to do an awful lot of reading.
Oh, okay. Not at this time of year, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
But I could try taking another one maybe next time around or something.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just that right now, I think getting yourself on a program that
mm-hmm.
offers you the maximum amount of support that you can get is going to be really helpful.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I can definitely do that.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, of course, is to, I don't know where you live, so I don't know if it's possible to spend more time with Sangha. But
yeah, I have actually not necessarily of Sangha, but I do have a meditation group that I sit with, and but I am in the Bay Area, so I have thought about coming down to Mountain View and
yes,
yeah,
think about that.
Okay, yeah,
you know, and look at the schedule and see where you can plug in. And take advantage of that, and also, you know, make sure that when you're in those kinds of situations, you give yourself the opportunity to express what's going on in a way that gets support for you?
Yes, and that's been hard for me.
Yeah.
I haven't always felt supported by myself or, well, yeah, by myself.
Yeah, well, we're
and
not.
When you don't feel, yeah, right, and when you don't feel that way
we're
for
not.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so to just, since there is this kind of support available to you, then get there. Come and see me on Thursday night at East West. Get to the Zen Center as soon as you can. See if it can work out for you to come to the New Year's retreat. You know, now's the time. It's like Melissa, you know, prioritize you, get yourself
mm-hmm.
the support you need.
Yeah. Well, I think I'll be back. I noticed you have on There's Nothing Wrong With You in June.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're going to do another one in July, but I think my husband's going to come to one also.
Oh, excellent.
So
good.
Hopefully.
Can't hurt.
No.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, but I will. I'm definitely coming. I mean,
yeah.
make that decision for himself. But
exactly. We whatever other people do, we strive to be the most compassionate presence we can be. But
yes.
Working out our own salvation is our first job.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so very, very much. And thank you for
most
all
welcome.
Of your writings and the workshops and everything.
Oh,
I just
yeah.
can't say how, excuse me, how valuable they've been.
Good, good.
Well,
thank
you.
Hope to see you somewhere before long.
Okay. Well, thanks.
All right. Good
bye-bye.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Phyllis. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Wow. That was fun, Sherry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lots of calls.
Good people.
That's great.
Good people doing good work.
Yeah.
And it is fun when we are able to have more callers. So that's good. And everybody seemed to like it. So that's good, too.
Great.
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.